And hello and welcome back to Fossil Bonanza. My name's Andy Connolly, and we are back once again for a Lagerstätte Roundup. And this time focusing on articles that were released on February 2021. Now, just as a quick clarification, there are a lot of articles that are published every month when it relates to fossil Lagerstätten. Quite a few of them are related to new species that are designated. And it would take a long time to go through every single one of those articles. And so when I do these Lagerstätte roundups, for the most part, I won't be covering those kinds of articles unless the animal or organism described is quite unusual. But I do keep an open mind for those in case there's something that interesting that's come along. And in this case, I want to start us off with our second described Lagerstätte for 2021. This is called the Susse Lagerstätte, and it is in Morocco. And the title of the paper is The Susse Lagerstätte of the Anti-Atlas, Morocco, Discovery of the First Cambrian Fossil Lagerstätte from Africa. This is pretty cool. Note that it says the First Cambrian Lagerstätte of Africa. There's a lot of other Lagerstättes, particularly in South Africa, where you get some from the Permian, you got ones that are a lot later. But this is not the oldest one. The oldest one is an Ediacaran site in Namibia. But this being the first Cambrian one has a lot of weight to it, because this could be a site that we can look at and compare to other Cambrian sites from across the world. Of course, like Burgess Shale, but like the ones that are coming out of China as well, which is pretty cool. And so this one is very expectant of from a Cambrian site. You have trilobites, brachiopods, hyoliths, and they all have soft tissue preservation. And this is actually one of the oldest sites in the world to have trilobite-bearing fossils. And it's also the oldest one known to have trilobite guts, which is pretty cool. And so this offers a really nice comparison to understand how trilobites evolved, because as we covered in our Beecher's Trilobite Bed episode, we were able to see what those guts looked like on the inside. So this can act as like a nice comparison to show how trilobites evolved and changed over millions of years. Pretty interesting. The fossils in this case, it's believed that they were preserved due to low oxygen conditions. Every now and then you would see a series of low oxygen events, which attributed to the very nice preservation quality of the fossils themselves. And one final note of this is that what's interesting is Morocco has an Ordovician site. It's probably its most famous Lagerstätte too, and it's called the Fezzoata Biota. And this is the following time period, so it's really cool just to see how already you're seeing a change in Morocco's marine organisms from the Cambrian to the Ordovician, and how those life forms adapted to new conditions. Very interesting. So that is our second Lagerstätte discovered in 2021. And the other Lagerstätte that's, I don't want to say it's discovered, but it's rediscovered. It's a Lagerstätte that was originally thought to be lost, but was basically refounded again. And when I say lost, not necessarily mean that they lost track of it, but that they thought that the site was basically all used up. No more fossils. It's been completely excavated. But these scientists basically went to this site. It's called the Parker Quarry Lagerstätte in Vermont. And they went back to it, and they found a new layer of rocks that yielded new fossils, which is pretty exciting. What's also interesting is that this has a special little moment in history, because the fossils were originally discovered by Noah Parker in 1855. He found trilobites there. But the site was kind of further highlighted, further made famous by Charles Walcott in the 1880s. And that name is important because he's the one who discovered the Burgess Shale in 1909. So he was already having a hand in Cambrian Lagerstätten already early in his lifespan, which is pretty cool. And so basically they came back to the site, they rediscovered some new fossils, including radiodonts, brachiopods, sponges, and trilobites, again with soft tissue preservation. This is definitely leaning more on that Konservat rather than the Konzentrat Lagerstätten, because there's not a lot of them here, but they are very nice quality. And just like the Seuss one before, this was probably preserved due to conditions of low oxygen. So really looking forward to seeing what kind of new information we can learn from both of these sites and how we can understand more about our Cambrian world. Pretty neat. Okay, so I mentioned before that I won't cover every single new species found out there unless it's pretty special, and this is one of them. The paper in this case is called New Spiders from the Carboniferous of New Mexico and England and a Review of Paleozoic RNA. And this paper actually has a little bit of a personal connection to me because the author is Dr. Paul Selden, who was one of my professors at the University of Kansas, and I actually took a class under him on fossil Lagerstätten. And so he is a renowned expert on fossil spiders and spiders in general. And what he did was he basically looked at these different Paleozoic spiders, 52 of them, and said, a lot of these aren't real spiders. They're not true spiders. And he pared it down to just 24. Spiders are notoriously rare, notoriously difficult to become fossils in the first place. And most of the fossils, as I discussed in the Amber episodes, most of the spider fossils found are from Amber, about 90% of them. And Amber didn't become abundant as a fossil preservation method until the Cretaceous period, which was after the Paleozoic. And so seeing any kind of spider is pretty noteworthy. And so this spider is called Protolycosa suazoi, and it's from the Kinney Brick Quarry in New Mexico. And this was from the Carboniferous period. So again, Paleozoic spiders, not that common, very rare. So finding anything like that is pretty interesting, pretty cool to get that little bit of history from a source that's not from Amber. Okay, and moving on. Speaking of Amber, this next paper is called Synchrotron Radiation Computed Tomography Uncovers Ecosystem Functions of Fly Larvae in an Eocene Forest. This is really neat. This is, these scientists looked at these amber specimens and found fly larvae. In fact, one of the specimens of amber had 56 fly larvae in them, which is really incredible. And the larvae themselves, naturally, were found next to mammalian feces. So this is really cool. Larvae are very rare, just like spiders, to be found in the fossil record due to their very soft nature. And what's interesting to think about is that although we get a lot of the primary consumers, producers, secondary consumers as well in a forest, we don't get a lot of the decomposer side, like worms, for instance, due to their more generally soft-bodied nature. And so seeing these remarkable fly larvae here is pretty cool. And fly larvae themselves can be pretty difficult to identify, especially depending on the quality of the fossil themselves. But in this case, they were able to identify these fly larvae and compare them to who their modern relatives could be. And so this adds a vital piece to our Eocene forest puzzle in understanding how these organisms interact and work with each other in this ecosystem, in this complicated web. Very cool. Love that. Don't really get to see that too often. And when you do, that's pretty exciting. All right. And the last one I wanted to talk about, I think is basically my choice article for the month. Taxon and Senescence Specific Fluorescence of Colored Leaves from the Pliocene Wilhelmshausen Lagerstätte in Germany. This is very incredible. Basically, these researchers, they took these leaves from this one Lagerstätte and they exposed them to UV light and basically got them to fluoresce and emit these different colors. And what they found was that the leaves would emit different colors depending on their taxa, their genera. And so they can range from anything from yellow to green to red. And what's really neat is that it's not about how these leaves were preserved, but because of their genre. And this is neat for two reasons. And the first one is that leaves, depending on their taxa, will preserve different chemical compounds that will decay at different rates, and because of which that will leave a unique signature, a blueprint on them. And so why this is cool is that even when you have plants that are relatively closely related to each other, their leaf structure can vary wildly. But we can still identify them based on their genera because of these colors. They'll still have those unique blueprint chemical compounds on them. And so plant identification in the fossil record, notoriously difficult, notoriously a big hill to climb, because you're not seeing the full organism, you're seeing maybe parts of it. And so getting any kind of identification method, whatever form that may be, is very crucial. And so I think this is really neat. I'm hoping that I can try this out. I don't know if I will be able to try it out. I want to really look into this as well, see if this is something I can try, because I have some Green River leaves on hand. But this is really neat. I think that's really cool. And the leaves themselves are very pretty, not just in their regular format, but also when they are exposed to that UV light. So that's it for our Lagerstätte Roundup for February. All these links to these papers are going to be available on our Twitter account. So if you want to read these papers for yourself, go check that out. Highly recommend it, especially for the fossilized leaves one. That one is pretty amazing, to say the least. And with that said, thank you again for listening. I hope to see you all again next time, and have a great day.